Hello!
Hello!
Welcome to the Comic Cast.
Oh.
I'm Declan.
Hold on. That's not how it goes. It's welcome to Ireland's number one comic book podcast.
Did they say that
with me? I'm not Craig or Liam. Stephen.
I'm Declan.
I'm Liam.
I'm Declan.
Wait, who?
I didn't say I'm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stephen, sorry.
So I'll step in here. Craig is not present for the show.
Yeah, if it was Craig, he'd be like, spoilers.
That's basically Craig. The way he's moving his arms really sold that.
We have got a great episode for you today, because we have comic book artists extraordinaire Stephen Mooney and Declan Shalvey in studio to talk candidly about working in the industry. And we have no real plan for today. We're just going to kind of wing it.
Spitball.
Yeah. Which will explain the low quality.
But yeah, we just
first piece of candid information is that Declan doesn't like when you put my name before his and Ireland's preeminent comic book artists.
Yeah, we were a dry run.
I admit,
and you didn't change
before
it.
Me.
It's like, yeah.
We actually have an internal hierarchy that people don't know about.
We do.
Well, let's start with that.
Must.
Oh, you must.
But I don't know about it either.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, yeah, I know what it is.
If you don't, you should start now.
Yeah, you were the top guy. But of course, Will now is
possible.
You were
the top guy too, because
years ago,
a couple of years ago.
No, it's three.
Yeah, when Angel was coming out,
3 years.
Well, we had a conversation saying that
I miss it, frankly.
Out of all the mix, it's like with Angel, Steven's like book was selling the most, so he probably would be the top guy.
What's the most your book have ever sold?
I think a couple of years ago when my first Thunderbolts came out, it was the numbers that I saw was like 32,000.
Well, I was doing 47 on Angel.
So technically.
Anyone could have been drawing that book because Joss Whedon's name was on the front.
Well, regardless, I mean, nobody was buying Thunderbolts because of me. It was my first issue, so.
Declan's still with Will. Ireland's number one comic book artist.
Artist, brackets.
I spoke about you at my talk today, actually.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. They asked about Marvel Comics.
What talk is this?
The Red Lion, it's a Dublin Library, South Dublin Library Book Festival. I hadn't heard of it before this year. I think it's in the second year, but it was really well organized and put together, and there were some really, really proper speakers like Michael D and Sean Moncrief and Lisa Fitzpatrick, various people from all over.
Love their work.
Me too. And then me. I was representing graphic novels, as they called them. Accurately.
Maybe that's where we should start in
okay.
terms of, like, since you guys have started out, like, what has changed in terms of the perception? Because, like, you're always kind of doing these events, which have only really started in my mind, like, you know, in the last couple of years, like where there's it's a lot more noticeable when there's a book festival on or a children's book festival on or different. They always have like a comic book artist, on. So is it becoming more mainstream, creeping in, more acceptable to like
certainly
comics?
Higher profile. I think it boils down again largely to the movies. To a certain extent with the Batman films and the Avengers there was very successful. The Spider-Man, I mean, I was in there today and a lot of the kids were mad into these movies, but that said, they were big into their animation and they knew their comic books as well, and there was a lot of girls there, which had been maybe not so much 10-15 years ago. Now granted, they were all manga fans, kind of the stereotype, but they were still very enthusiastic and knew very much what they were talking about. So I was kind of surprised. I have to say I was a little bit surprised.
We take those.
we have some technical difficulties. Programming
Declan knocked over the equipment.
The equipment being ironing
we'll
board.
We'll zoom in a minute.
I'm going to make it sound like I knocked a desk over, but no, this ironing board placed precariously in front of me. I apologize, coming guys, sisters. Taking those girls that you mentioned, like in another 5-7 years, they'll probably be doing professional manga comics. Like, I mean, it's. I remember when I was a kid, I thought I was the only guy drawing comics. Then, like, I met Will, and then I met you guys. Like,
and
so
it really pissed him off.
It did. I was really pissed off when I heard of somebody else drawing comics, because I assumed for years, because I didn't know anybody else, that I was the
you were the
one.
Special little snowflake in the western of Ireland.
Well, comics. I still like to think of myself as a special little snowflake.
But, that's actually my
name
for
that. But it's interesting, though. You do say like that all those girls they're mainly manga fans.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, considering the way things that's becoming more popular, there probably will be like some more female manga artists, Irish ones,
and animators too. They seem really into their animation. And even say, look at Boulder Media, where I used to work.
Yeah.
What is it now? 8 years ago.
Wow.
There were two girls in there,
mm-hmm.
Jill, and another girl that you don't. Mm-hmm. And now I'd say it's easily half. They have about 70 staff and about at least 30 of them, mm-hmm. if not more, girls, which, you know, kind of illustrates. And these are all fresh college graduates, you know, young, mm-hmm. 22, 23. So it really is... It's happening, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. And it all seems very interchangeable.
But what I like about it, I think I sort of had a conversation with you about this before, was that it seemed like when I came to Dublin the first time and I met Bob Byrne, and then we got to know each other and, you know, get to be mates, and the same with Stephen. And everyone seemed to have kind of galvanized in the last few years, like you guys with the comic guests. I found out about Chris Judge through ye, and I would know Chris pretty well now at this stage.
Yeah, I only,
everyone's kind of like centered. It's actually, I would credit the comic guests.
I'd say they came
way
along at the right time. I think the zeitgeist, maybe, what is it now, six or seven, I don't know how long you guys have been.
Shy of 5 years.
Okay, five or 6 years ago, I think stuff really started, when these guys started getting real jobs as well, and then everyone was kind of working mainstream.
But even when you were starting, like, it's like, oh, if they're interviewing Irish guys, like they have like 2 weeks of content, but still going 5 years later. And I know there's probably lulls and you know, dips and heights that come with that, but you still are getting content, like, you know, with every guy who's doing well professionally, there's more gigs you can talk to them about, and then there's more people following those footsteps.
Yeah.
Like,
well, everybody is very happy to talk to them, I think, which reflects well on the show, because
and there's a nice range
really
of, like,
dodging, well, not that I know of, dodging interviews and things, which would be hilarious.
Yes.
the real scoop.
Yeah, I'm trying to think anyone. No, one.
Have you ever tried to get on that didn't?
One guy didn't want to talk to us.
Do we know him? We obviously know him.
Maybe. We he just didn't want to talk to us because he kind of didn't think, he kind of has a mysterious kind of persona.
Is it Thompson?
And didn't want, no, we've had Thompson on like several times.
Yeah, he's hard to wrangle. He's like a ferret.
Yeah, yeah. I'm having flashbacks of listening to the first Eclectic Mix podcast, that rambling. I was like, hey, Craig, you know, send out your first assignment.
That was grim.
Baptism of fire for Craig. All seven of us in the mic.
I tried listening to it there a few months ago,
like,
and I had to stop.
It's like punishment.
Yeah.
There's a few good nuggets in but you got to wade through a lot. I liked Nick Roach reversing over the baby.
That was in my head right there. That
actually happened.
Yeah.
But I'm just making a joke. But yeah, that was the thing. It's because Craig, like, I mean, not to criticize Craig, well, he's not here, but let's
Craig. This is the Bash Craig, a very special episode.
There's a few things I wanted to get off my chest.
Oh no, but there was just too many of us, and there was no, like, I mean, it's different if we were going to like ramble a bit, and it's just the three of us.
Yeah.
But there was like seven of us in the room.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we just talked over each other.
Craig.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, there was no hope. There was no hope that was going to work.
I've got a question for you.
Oh yeah, sure.
Are you two still enjoying doing the show?
yeah, we are.
What are you laughing
at? It's really funny. It's like, this is your life. You know, this interview wasn't actually about us.
But we're spitballing.
I suppose.
Yeah, but five years on, I mean, you seem to have like dialed back the episode.
And you're
so
moving
you
up in the world and such.
Yeah, I guess even like people will have noticed in the last like couple of months that they weren't as frequent. Even during the summer, there was just like a big
They're
huge,
all still good though.
It's huge gap. It's quality, not quantity.
It is.
No, it is, yeah.
But I suppose. But yeah, no, like, we still love doing it.
Now, don't lie.
Yeah, no, we do. We absolutely have a ball doing it. But I guess, weirdly, like, I feel like I don't read as many comics as I did before. And I actually think that's, I think that's almost as a direct result of being forced via the show to kind of,
working,
you know, have... well, just kind of like to go, oh, you know, the Comcast is coming up like in a month's time, like I need to read, like, I think we always aim too high. I think we always went like, oh, you need to review like 10 comics and I need to review, like, rather than just reviewing, you know, 3 or 4 and trying to do them well.
That's kind of impressive, because a lot of people just go, sure, we'll just do a bit and see what happens. You actually, by having high ambitions, even if you didn't quite reach those, you still, I would argue, got a lot more stuff out of it.
I would say the fact that there is some sort of a structure to the show is a huge thing. It's not just rambling. You have your news and your reviews, and then, and the movie news is a big part of it, I think, as well. And the interviews obviously makes up a real chunk.
And you're really good to go to events and, like, you know, talk to people, and, you know, there's always some kind of like nugget information there. And like you said, Craig would probably cover all the like stuff that's happening in mainstream comics.
Yeah,
you'd know a lot more about the kind of indie cartoonists and it's interesting to me because I am interested in both.
Yeah,
you know, I don't really care that much about the movie news, but I would certainly like to know
about
the bases.
No.
I mean, in general, I'm not speaking about the comic cast.
Oh, sorry.
You know, because you'll hear it online, but it'd be interesting what you guys think.
Yeah.
I also like that, you know, Craig thinks of all the mainstream stuff. Plus, there'll be stuff that I would have quite varied tastes, and I do like a lot of indie stuff. I just don't have the time to look for it, whereas yeah, I hear yeah. about it from you guys. I've bought some of the books you guys have talked about.
I think that's one of the, like we were saying about developing a community, is that, you know, a lot of people don't have the time or don't go to the bother of like going to like the Irish comic section, and so they mightn't, like even Bob Byrne told me once before, like, that he's always surprised whenever we mention like some comic book that he's never heard of, some Irish comic book that he's never heard of, because I think he was saying, you might correct me on this, that, you know, kind of thought like, well, what, you know, if you're an Irish comic book artist and you made this comic, like, why don't you like send it to everybody and let people know about it, because a lot of them just fall under the radar.
Well, I think a lot when you're starting out as well, you assume no one really.
It's also it's an Irish confidence issue.
Yeah,
right? I talked about that today as well, about just the fact that you need to be much, much better. In fact, this is where Declan would excel, at getting your stuff out there and representing yourself in a good light professionally.
Mm.
Whereas I'm not so bad at it now. I mean, I'm using the Twitters and
You're way better than the tweet machine.
I would have been awful at that kind of thing. I think a lot of those younger people probably are the same. Maybe they think their work isn't up to snuff and they don't really want to put it force under people's noses.
Yeah.
If people want to pick it up, it's fine. It'd be nice. I mean, I'm still kind of like
We have a friend who's a fantastic artist. And he...
Stephen Thompson.
No, I'm actually not talking about Thompson. But he isn't showing... Guy. He isn't putting anything out there. He's not showing anybody anything until he gets stuff right. Now, he's older. He's not the younger generation.
Right.
But it's very interesting, like, because what I did is I decided to learn as I went. I started getting professional jobs. If I wanted to try something, I would try it on the page. Sometimes the results are a little bit wobbly, but, you know, I got to a place where I needed to go. He has a very different opinion, that he just wants to make sure everything's right before anything is seen. And I don't think that is going to happen.
It's a little
anymore.
Self-defeating, isn't it?
Well, we could argue self-defeating. It's certainly, I think you can gain momentum as you're working on things, whereas he is not making any momentum at all.
Yeah.
But there is an advantage to that, is once he starts putting stuff out there, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
When Will and I first went to the States, there's an artist we know in New York, really great guy, Kevin Colden. And he was telling us that it was interesting about us that we went to the States, we had a few books under our belt, and we'd gotten to a place where we were fully formed, as he put it. Whereas he said, I would argue he's fully formed when his art was fully formed. When he went to New York, his stuff was kind of like rougher because he was younger, he was still learning stuff out. So everybody kind of saw kind of not a great version of his stuff. And now that he's better, some people might only remember the earlier stuff.
Mm.
Whereas when we showed up, it's like, oh, they're very good. So there's advantages to that. But I don't see that happening in the future because, you know, kids are way more adept now with social media. I mean, I got on Twitter and I'd learned how to use it kind of, and, you know.
Were you in the early days of Twitter?
I have no idea.
It's a few years anyway.
Yeah, at least 2 years anyway. Yeah, I'd say maybe 3 years.
And how do you, how do you find it in terms of, do you find it useful in terms of getting work, or
I would say without Twitter I wouldn't be where I am right now. I am
untorked,
because what happened with me was that we were doing the Mix blog. I went on Twitter and then I found other guys who work I really liked in comics. Never talked to them before, but because of Twitter you can kind of gain a kind of familiarity and kind of get to know what people are like, and then start little kind of slight interactions and then end up kind of being quite friendly with them. So I end up being quite friendly with Chris Somney and Mitch Breitweiser and a lot of the guys, and we ended up doing a blog together as well, the Twart blog, which, because there was a lot of successful guys in that blog, my stuff was seen as well. And when I went to America for a summer to kind of get my stuff out there along with Will, a lot of people knew my stuff already because they'd seen it on that blog. But without Twitter that wouldn't have happened before, you know.
Yeah.
Meeting all these guys, because what I really liked is, I think things took a change for me when we started the Mix blog, because again we all galvanized, and if one guy did well, it would spread it out with the other guys effectively. But with the Twart blog, that made me raise my game a little bit more. But also, it's finding guys who like my stuff gave me a lot more confidence. You know, it's like if you like a certain type of stuff and they like yours too, you're like, oh, then it must mean I'm okay then. And it gave me a lot more confidence and things started to take off for me then, I think.
This is Declan's biography on Wikipedia.
Oh yes, I don't know. Did you write that?
No.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay. So
just
this is
about you getting started.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did.
So I should. I should read this out. Should
yeah,
I?
You
okay.
You
so,
really shouldn't.
So for those at home listening on the wireless, Stephen Mooney has just handed me
his Wikipedia
page of Declan, which says Declan has stated he is indebted to fellow Irish comic artist and Eclectic Mix Stephen Mooney. In an interview on the Eclectic Mix website, he says, "Yeah, Stephen basically inspired me to be the man I am today. I have to give him credit for inspiring me to push past my initially drab forays into illustration to the much improved stuff I'm doing now. Mooney groomed Declan to replace him, illustrating Rob Curley's Freak Show, Declan's first paid position." It is quite funny, and that's actually on Wikipedia.
Yeah. There is one thing that's very true in that. My name is Declan.
Not Duncan.
Yeah. That's... well, you. I guess you...
I think
I
my
say
brother might have written it.
Oh, really?
Right. I guess
I certainly wouldn't give you the first sentence complete or things, but you know, Stephen did get me my first job.
And regretted it ever since.
Well, what I want to ask is that, Declan, you blog all the time, you know what I mean? Anytime. Well,
as much as I can.
Time,
like, not as much as I used to.
Not as much as you used to, but certainly if something comes up, you blog it. And I don't think you do that as much,
no.
Stephen, I want to know... Why?
We
did you not find
question.
It as like
Will and I had to drag him kicking and screaming
yeah,
to Twitter.
To be honest, it's just because I had that real Irish mentality of like, who wants to hear what I have to say?
Yeah,
I mean, even sitting here saying this, I'm thinking that inside. You wouldn't think listen to him because I'm loud and brash and such.
But we did, even when we did the first interview on Comicast, whatever, like we were like, who's listening? Like
yeah.
We were asking, do you know
what
people are listening?
That's what we asked. Yeah, I think my mom is.
I just. He's always had more aptitude for it. I'm better than I used to be, but I certainly don't enjoy it. It's a real chore to me, whereas I think you probably quite enjoy it, do you?
Enjoy showing
just updating
stuff.
People, showing your stuff.
Yeah, I guess
I
just need the attention or something. I don't know. Like,
well, I need a crap load of attention. I can't be that. Like,
yeah.
I like attention from real people, maybe.
Right.
Like,
I don't like.
But
people.
Do you find it
like
beneficial?
Declan's very successful in his professional
yeah.
life, whereas I'm more successful in my actual life.
That's fair.
And there's a
dichotomy. I'm doing better now, though.
I think you're more meeting in the middle now. I
yeah.
have yet to meet in the middle as much as Declan, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no,
but it's coming that way.
Well, the way it's always been a very straight route for me is in comics,
yeah.
And I haven't had a real life or a wife or a house. I mean, you've been a lot more. You're more of a well-rounded person, I would argue, than I'm. Whereas I kind of live in my little cave and completely ignore the world.
Yeah, I think. Comics used to be absolutely everything to me, and now they are about 50%, which is still huge. I think you must be more like 70.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
But whereas you would have been 100, we both would have been 100 way back.
Yeah, yeah. When we were younger, we had no commitments
play,
or obligations.
And as you get more committed to places, to people, and you put down roots. I mean, I have a mortgage. Things like I have a mortgage. Like I was going to say a dog. I don't have a dog. I used to have a dog.
You
can
have my dog.
Your dog is lovely. I don't want it though. So yeah, I think he prioritized things that are not necessarily more important. In some circles they are, but in this circle they are, and I have only begun prioritizing.
I'll tell you what I do as well is where if I saw stuff online, I would leave a comment on somebody's blog, or if I was at a show, I would go up to somebody whose work I like and start talking to them.
Yeah, that's
and,
a big one.
You know, there's little things like that. I think when I first started going to shows. Because I didn't know anybody, I had to kind of like give myself a kick in the arse, and I remember finding it very, very hard even approaching anybody. But I kind of had to give myself a little push of like, just talk to somebody. And then afterwards, if you're in the pub, oh, there's that guy I talked to. And then, whereas I think maybe you grew up with Thompson, who was maybe
oh, God, for my sins.
But you still had somebody the whole time who,
oh yes,
you
yes.
didn't really have to push yourself to find anybody.
No, we just
because you knew
together every day and then worked off each other. So,
I think
being on your own probably helped you.
I would say maybe that's the case because that's you know maybe that's why now I would like if I liked something on Twitter, I would say oh nice job to somebody and
but
yes,
you will
so.
Approach people.
Yeah, I would.
I do a bit, but not. To be honest, I use him for that, or Will, because they went to the States for the guts of a year, it was, and introduced himself to everybody. I kind of, like by proxy now, know a lot of those people just through him, which he's, and so is Will. The two of them are very good for going, oh, this is Mooney, whatever, yada yada, and then that's fine. Because they're all, like, as you know, in comics, most people are generally sound people, because they all come from that same nerdy, weird, insecure place, like, so. We all get on really well. It's just the case of that initial foray into, you know, introducing yourself, stuff, which I'm rubbish at.
And just sticking with blogs for a second, so you set up the Half Past Danger blog.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit.
Yeah,
I decided
it was actually based on a model that another guy we know, Nate Simpson, who does a comic called Nonplayer, he had done this from scratch, this blog, Warts and All blog, where he was going to like chart the ups and the downs and the chewy centers and everything, just regardless of what it was, what it took to get this comic from zero to theoretical hero, you know.
I mean, of course, the Cartoon Saloon, the Secret of Kells,
it's a popular
lasted
model,
like 7 years, and it's I think it's really useful for people.
Yeah, mine is actually going over it. It's about 13 months now. I'm over a year on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's nuts.
Bloody hell,
it?
Yeah. Doesn't it's weird, because in a way you like willed that into existence.
Is that a pun on our cork chum?
No, but actually, you know, Will did it too. Like, whereas you created a project and you made it happen. Same with Will.
Yeah, but I'm one of how many? Like, it's not. We know so many.
Yeah,
I mean, don't get me wrong, it's hard work. I mean, I work as much.
Yeah, but a lot of people, that just doesn't happen. They just
the discipline side of it,
or
the fact that you get offered the odd job here or there, and it's like, oh, money. I mean, I haven't. I've actually done a lot of commissions lately, but other than that, I haven't really earned any money in a year now, which is kind of nuts. Like, when I'm 35 next week. And have a mortgage and a wife and such, so it's a big step to be. I mean, if I had a child, it would never have happened.
Yeah,
because
frankly,
one of my reasons for doing it now was the fact that in the future I could have a child, and it just would not be feasible to say, right, I'm leaving work for a year, I'm going to do my own book, and hopefully it'll sell. And if it doesn't sell, at least I did it, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I'm really enjoying it. I mean, and again, I was talking about this morning with all the kids, and their response was really favorable. So it's nice every now and again getting that injection of enthusiasm where you're like, okay, this. People do seem to like the idea of this.
So I did a talk in my old school back in Clare, and I think I said to him, I said, if I wasn't doing Marvel Comics, would any of you care? Like,
nah.
You know? I mean, that's why I asked the question, because
I
suspected as much. It's weird. Well,
it's the glamorous.
Yeah, and I'm not sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, but it's on my head. I do find that. I know, like, with Will getting Marvel work now, I'm sure he's getting a lot of offers that he wasn't getting beforehand. It's once you do kind of like Marvel DC work, it changes perception of your career.
Yeah, it's an exposure
thing. Yeah, whereas with stuff you were doing at IDW, you were getting the same types of jobs, so you changed the
playing field, Declan.
With all the Star Trek stuff in my head, I can't think of those technical terms.
I ran out of ship
the way you're
level
going.
2 diagnostic.
You need to eject a warm core.
That never works.
And the path of your career, essentially. The way it was, you could just kept going the way you were. But it'd been fine, you're right, you know, you could have kids.
Nothing was really changing as it was.
Yes. Whereas you have maybe an area of a few years where you could make take bigger risk. But and not have as much of a risk with it. Like if it fell flat, you know, you spend some months in it, and you can just move on doing what you're doing.
Well,
before,
if nothing else, I have a pretty portfolio piece. Like Declan was saying, Will's at Marvel, and he'll get more notices. Even me working on this so far, I've had the odd editor say, "Well, come to me when you finish this," that I didn't have before that. So you know, it's all incremental stuff. But I am certainly now in a better position than I was even. Before I left,
I think editors generally are very impressive people who are doing it on their own, because you know, some people kind of like get work for hire jobs, maybe half-assed and stuff, but when you're doing your own stuff, they'll take you more seriously, because they know it's actually costing.
So many comic artists are complete flakes.
Yes,
like
I had no idea
how many of them are in plea flakes.
Yeah, with my girlfriend's Jordi Belair is a colorist, and I had no idea how late a lot of artists are. The like, because I have my stuff in, if not on time, a little early.
We're very Irish,
you know?
About it.
Yeah, I think there's a certain work ethic that we had growing up here, that it's like, you know, because like I've had some crap jobs. I worked in a prison. I've worked as a coal man. Actually, just down the road, I used to work in Mountjoy down the road.
It's a bad kid.
You know, so I've worked jobs where I would have to go, this is not what I want to do. I know what I want to do. So when I get the opportunity, I work hard. Bob had a really good phrase once. He said that. That, you know, he used to get up at 6 in the morning to work some crap job he hated, but then when he started doing comics, he'd kind of sleep in, and he'd be like, why am I working harder at something I hate than something I love, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So there is that art discipline, and I think that's certainly helped all of us.
Yeah,
right,
definitely.
And I guess, like, while we're here, while you're here, what is the current status of Half Past Danger? Just bring us up to speed.
I'm just finishing the second issue.
So sorry. So for anyone who is like, you know, listening, who doesn't know anything about this, this is
my creator-owned comic. That it's about. It's set in 1943, about an Irishman fighting for the Americans in the Pacific in World War II, and it's kind of like an old school romp action adventure. Very much the Indiana Jonesy Jurassic Park school of matinee serialized hard-bitten heroes and glamorous dames, and it boils down to Nazis versus dinosaurs, but it's not as juvenile as it sounds. Yeah. Now, it's pretty juvenile, but it's got a few more elements, you know, a few more levels than maybe you'd expect from hearing the premise. It's exactly what I would like to read, but now whether that makes it what other people would want to read or not. But I guess that's the only point to do your own book is to do
Absolutely.
And I am now finished. Well, I'm 2 pages away from finishing the second issue, which was a long issue, because when I got the deal from IDW, it had to be 6 issues, and it was 7 issues. So I folded most of issue 3 into 2, and then a bit of it into issue 4, which is now issue 3. So it in turn made issue 2 quite large. But that's the hump. Like, once I get over that, it's kind of straight shooting from there. So it's going. I'm pretty happy with all the stuff I've done. I must send you on that second issue, actually.
Maybe.
I think it's better than the first issue, which is, you know, good, because I'm happy enough with the first issue, which is rare for me. Usually I hate things weeks after I've done them.
Yeah.
But this one seems to be okay.
Yeah,
so
I've read the first issue and I think it's pretty great.
The first page goes back a good few months and you still like that. You know, it's still something.
Well, it's nearly a year now for the draw. Well, I wrote it for like 3 months, so
yeah.
I've been drawing it like 10 months.
Hmm.
2 issues. Wow, that's productivity. Although I did colour for a few months in there. And all the covers are done.
And if you hadn't
promotional material.
If you hadn't spent all that time colouring it, then you wouldn't. It would have been tougher to pitch it. You know.
Oh, this is true. Although we must bring Geordie in at this point, because I don't know if I told you myself, but you did mention on the show that Geordie is actually going to be taking over as colourist.
Yeah, crazy.
Now. In fact, she might go back and recolour one that it's not definitely decided yet, but it's very possible. So at least from issue 2 to 6 will be all Geordie.
Excellent.
And will look great, because she is already one of the best in the business after what, a year and a half? It must be 2 years.
I think it's a year and a half.
It sickens me. And she thinks she's like, oh god, it's taken me so long to get to the top. And I'm like tearing my eyeballs out when she says this to me. I was like, a year and a half? I've literally been doing this for 10 years.
She's colouring Superman today.
Wow.
Action comics.
Wow.
You know?
Those are real comics.
I'm really glad I could find meet a girl who could become this like fantastic resource of comics, and I don't get to work.
Yeah, you were the meteoric
else.
Rise to power until
so she came along. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm going to be using her as a stepladder. So she's going to be my in the comics.
That'd be so, I would love if that was the case.
It's happening, man. It's happening. Totally. She knows more people than I do now.
Musical tracks and stuff. Can I make a request?
Yeah.
Oh, should I even get through it all? No. Can I have "You're the Voice" by John Farnham, or even a segment of?
Nice.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Remind me at the end.
Oh.
What are you reading right now that you love? Do you even have time to read?
Well, I'll feel this one since Mooney isn't reading anything, unless I get it for him and hand it to him.
That's true.
It really seems that he doesn't read that much. I read as much as I can. What I do now is I won't read anything if the art is crap.
I agree with that.
I mean, there's some great writers out there. But I say Jonathan Hickman's Fantastic Four. I picked up an issue. It was great. And I started reading it more. But like the art, I have a problem with these days where the art is generally so inconsistent that it's no matter how great the artist is. The writer is. If the art is bad, I just get really annoyed.
Mm.
So I generally am buying for the artist these days, and I try to buy books that are also really well written as well. You know, but
is it like they always say about writing a book? Is that the best thing you can do if you want to write a book is to read books? Like,
that's a fair point. But I think we've digested enough comics at this stage.
Oh yeah, used to read everything.
Yeah,
everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I learned a lot from looking at other stuff and dissecting it. But I think at this stage, we've all developed our own shorthand as in how we like to tell stories. I've seen myself when I try and, like with my Marvel stuff, I will try and be a little bit more flamboyant with panel layouts and just kind of be a little bit more, you know, try and make them more action-y and visually kind of interesting. Whereas the non-Marvel stuff, I kind of revert back to more natural, which is generally like kind of widescreen panels.
It's like the blockbuster movie as opposed to your own personal project.
Yes, exactly.
I think you prefer
my personal stuff.
Yeah.
We have more personal stuff.
Although
work for
you do
hire,
both
but yeah.
very well.
Yeah, no. I have a certain shorthand that I like. I mean, I have a certain amount of rules as well as regards how I tell stories that I will very very rarely break if they need to. Like I hate breaking panel borders. I think it always looks terrible. So that's the thing I have in my head: don't break panel borders. But I just did it on a page yesterday. Because it actually really worked, you know. But I find if you have that rule where to stop you from doing it, it'll stop you from doing it just because the amount of times I see pages where somebody just kind of like tilts something or makes a hand leave the panel or something just to make it more interesting. It drives me mad.
But it's so totally in my face, Declan.
No, it's
the problem.
You know,
it's practically 3D.
I was looking at something. It was a really well liked comic artist, and they were talking, and it went from panel one. And their hand went down or something out of the panel into panel three.
Would that not lead you into the wrong panel then?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But so and there was a completely necessary. You didn't
but do editorial not come
there.
Down hard on that?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think editors, in my experience, like
here we go.
No, I can't even think of anything that I've had to change.
I wonder, is there a level like a newbie they might say suggest a change? Whereas
yeah,
it's
my,
more
my first issue,
guy, they're like, oh, let it go. He's,
my first issue,
you know,
of Thunderbolts, they asked me to kind of redraw a face. Because it was like, you know, the hot sexy girl in Thunderbolts, and I, you know, struggle more with that kind of stuff, and I did, and it was fine, and I don't think I've ever really had to change anything since.
Can't really complain, so.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I remember some people say like, "Oh, there's a bug you having to draw in a Marvel style." I'm like, I've never drawn a Marvel style. Yeah, I just draw exactly the way I like to draw. You know, the only thing I would change slightly is, you know, how I'm telling the story, because I wouldn't exactly, if Venom is bursting through like a, you know, a door into some kind of like den with lots of criminals, I would do that somewhat differently than if Conan's walking into a room.
Oh yeah, of course.
You know, it's just little things like that. I'll be slightly more bombastic, but never sacrifice the storytelling. I still have to make sure it all.
You'd rastify it by 10% or something.
Essentially, yes. You give him shades and a backwards cap, but. Did I answer your question?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, like, and what do you guys not
I
like
know,
drawing?
Let me just say, I do
oh, yeah.
read some things, like comics.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually,
like three.
So I actually didn't answer
yeah,
this
didn't
question
answer
at all.
Question. Welcome to Declan Shelby.
Yeah, go on.
What else do
I
hate?
I was trying to be polite.
We just want to know what you're reading.
No, you tell. I'll try to think of all of them.
I am reading, and Declan Larcy is buying this for me at the minute, because I, because the fact that I don't earn money, he's actually went out of his way to buy me this comic.
That's
which is very nice. Punk Rock Jesus, of course, we both read, by our mate Sean Murphy, lovely fella, incredible artist. You might enjoy it, actually. It's quite it's not really the most mainstream of books, although there's some high concept stuff in there, but
it's a sci-fi story.
Yeah, yeah, I can say
that. A lot of religious stuff going through it.
There's a book, this is terrible, the Adam Hughes DC book at the minute, it's one of the Watchmen spin-offs. You've probably heard about that whole controversy.
Yeah, yeah.
I am buying but not reading, just looking at the pictures. And I say buying, he bought it for me.
And Rocketeer.
Oh, sorry, Rocketeer, which I did really enjoy.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good stuff.
IDW did a Rocketeer book, really, really good. Geordie coloured the hell out of it.
Yeah, there's some really good, like, kind of like indie stuff, like I can't remember, like, all the thugs in it of, like,
yeah,
the, what's this doohickey?
Yeah,
you know,
they actually
like,
remind
really
me of Tintin a lot, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Really,
yeah. Really, I figured
he'd
like,
used to be
yeah,
Tintin,
yeah.
Like, really full of character in the faces. Chris Somney, brilliant artist.
Yeah, but there's even the dialogue that Mark Waid is writing, it's kind of like, you know, what's this whatchamacallit? And,
yeah,
you know,
it's throwback.
And, oh, Mr. Luthor, type stuff, you know.
Otis.
But, I'm reading pretty nearly everything Dark Horse that's BPRD related. So BPRD, I have always been out in a while, but, Globster Johnson, because they generally have fantastic artists drawing it. John Arcudi writes most of it with Mike Mignola. So the very least you're going to get is a great comic, you know, and Dave Stewart colouring them all as well, pretty much. Angel and Faith I really like as well. I'm not reading Buffy, but I am reading Angel and Faith.
Why are you not reading Buffy?
Not as hot in the art, just personally. I just think Rebecca Isaacs is
brilliant,
very good, and I really like the colours too. Whereas overall, with it, just art wise and Buffy, I don't like as
plus
much.
Plus Angel, you were a bigger Angel.
I was a bigger Angel fan. Yeah, I mean, I love Buffy, but I was more of an Angel fan. I'm also reading Conan, which is the cool thing about getting to draw. That's what I kind of like, is some of the job offers I get is for stuff I'm reading.
Segue
anyway.
Into your new comic from there, which is out this week.
I guess so. Today, in fact, Conan issue 10 is out, and I'm ridiculously delighted with it. Because I got to work with Dave Stewart, who is like the best colours, and everybody pretty much agrees best colours, and because won a load of Eisners, but his just everything he did on those pages is amazing.
It's
definitely
the best
yeah.
stuff.
It's more how I like to tell stories, which is, I would argue, more boring. Like,
no, it's not.
Well, just the storytelling. Like it's what more I'm saying. Key. What I'm saying, yes, it's less.
Aren't they supposed to hack like 50 men to death in the next issue? Like a huge sword?
Spoilers!
Sorry.
Yeah. Not
boring at all.
Here's a spoiler.
There's like Conan. Plagues and seafaring and
yeah,
stuff.
The big spoiler is that Conan kills people. It's like, what? Not young Conan.
He's turned a real corner. But,
no, it's great. It's really moody storytelling, which is what I like. I mean, I'm going to Malta next month, and there's going to be a panel about achieving atmosphere in comics, and it's that'll be interesting. I'm going to really like that talk because it is something I really like in comics, is achieving atmosphere. Jordy was coloring something the other day, and she said the problem she had with it was because the artist had just basically everything was just line drawing. It was all information but no like mood, so she didn't really know.
So the mood was all on the colorist then, really.
It was up to her. What I said to her is, like, then it's down to you, really. Then you know, which makes it tougher for her. But I like atmosphere and mood in. I mean, it doesn't always have to be like I'm sad, but just you know, that's where you get
nice emotions.
No, but even I did a 2-page spread for issue of Venom recently, and I did one for Conan, and the one for Venom I think has got like 6 panels on the top and then a big spread where things are going crazy. I did another one for Conan, which is just 1 panel, and it's Conan effectively looking sad.
It's my wife's favourite page.
Really?
Yeah, the 2-page splash of him on the deck. Just,
yeah.
She loves that.
Really? Wow, that's great.
The dead rat in the foreground.
Yep. That's the third issue though, but I like, as much as the Venom stuff was fun, I actually think there's kind of more story in the Conan one, even though there's nothing happening. There's way more atmosphere. There's way more.
There's a lot more
story
for interpretation.
That's true. Yeah, which is what I like more so than just filling things with lots of noise sometimes. I mean, I still had a great time doing the Venom stuff. Don't get me wrong, but that's why I kind of like, I like reading those stories more. I like drawing those stories more. So I mean, it might be somewhere to go in the future.
I think it definitely suits you better too.
I think it does.
At the same time,
it's weird. So I had other people had to say it to me first before I really copped on, because I love Marvel so much.
Oh, because you grew up drawing all that.
Yeah, I love.
See, in my head, you're not like that at all.
I know, but I am in my guys. I love all that Marvel stuff, so I really like drawing it. You know, but if again, I feel it's more creatively rewarding doing that stuff. I feel lucky I've been able to do both. I've been able to do like the big, you know, like summer crossover, and also do the, you know, really, you know,
you're like the Steve Buscemi of the comic world.
I guess that's true. Mm. Ugly.
Wow.
Really.
Burn on Steve.
I really
Buscemi.
Hope Steve Buscemi doesn't hear this. I read a lot of Marvel stuff too, but Uncanny X-Force, anything Rick Remender is writing.
Yeah.
Which is why it was great to do Venom, because I was reading that anyway. What else?
When do you get the time to read all these? The reason
I don't
read lots of things is because I have no free time.
Sometimes.
And you draw. You spend at least as long as I do drawing.
Oh yeah, I spend a lot of time drawing.
Although you sleep a lot less than I do.
Yeah, I would. I just take a break sometimes and read a comic. But my problem is, if I buy a graphic novel, it'll sit there for ages. It was like last week. It's like, okay, I'm not going to work for the rest of the night. I'm going to sit down and read like Jeff Lemire's Underwater Welder, and it was great, but I had that book for, I'd say, 2 months.
Right.
You know, I was just sitting there waiting. I think we've got more stuff now.
Have you seen
time.
That shelf in my gap on the landing in my
yeah.
new bookshelf?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I've read, what, 2 of those? And
yeah.
Some of them are 2 years old.
That's mad.
But a lot of them I did get for the art now, but I do want to really read them. I mean, the Parker books,
well,
I've read, they're fantastic.
Yeah, well, you know, I got the Martini edition for my birthday. Just January. Yeah, I have it at the house. I haven't read it yet.
It's great.
Well, I've read the first one when it came out anyway, like, but still, it's tough to find. It's tough to find the time. But I find that if I'm not buying the, like, say, Fury Max is by Garth Ennis and Goran Perloff, and it's some of my favorite comics.
That's brilliant.
The stuff they've done together. Now I could wait for the trade on that easily, but if I don't see what Goran Perloff has done in the last few months, I kind of need to see that to know what I'm up against. Effectively,
it's one of Decker's favorite artists.
Yeah, big time. Like, but if I waited like 8 months before that's collected, by the time I've read that, I feel like I'm already behind. Like, not that I could ever catch up with that guy, because the guy's incredible. But I need to see what people are doing now to excite me to do.
Do you know why I think when I get a break, I watch a film? I think I must be more influenced by film storytelling in some ways than. Although I am very influenced, totally influenced by comics.
But
you love your films as well.
I love HBO stuff. Like I'm all about TV
again,
series.
Anything with feelings
well.
In it.
Anything with feelings in it.
It's funny because I had this thought when I was deciding what to do for my first creator own thing. I had myself here, and then Thompson was here talking about doing his own thing. And Declan, for the foreseeable future, isn't, but I know he has something long term that he's got in mind. And it's like, it's hilariously how cliche. Like, mine was this like action adventure Indiana Jones thing, like you'd pick it in 2 seconds. Tom's was this sci-fi highbrow kind of it's kind of low key but very Thompson type writer, and then Declan's is this like
Will as well, like, I mean,
oh yeah,
you know,
Will's is so many of them. He's got 50 of them and they're all that, bombastic, yeah. And like yeah, yeah. They've all got, I think he's breaking all the panel borders and those guys. And then Declan's is this low key personal introverted story, like kind of semi autobiographical with it to
yeah,
an extent,
yeah.
So it's very much the personality of each of us.
Yeah,
because
he's
so fast.
Will was Will did a signing in I don't know if you're signing an appearance in Forbidden Planet with O'Brien's press,
yeah.
Doing like a nice launch for Cullen.
Oh no,
yeah.
It was actually
Will was
for
the O'Brien
yeah,
stuff and
yeah.
Will was there for Cullen. But he, you know, again, the joke was that, like, you know, exactly what you stereotypically would think I would be
yeah.
Wants to do, that is it. But I remember years ago, before I even met you guys, Will was saying, oh, if you could do your own thing, what would you do? And I told him this kind of rough idea I had, which, you know, it's something I've abandoned since. But he told me his, and his essentially was a superhero epic. And my and he you know, and I was laughing at him and he laughed at me because he said yours basically an indie movie, but,
yeah.
But no, it is, it's yeah. Exactly, I mean, that's the type of stuff that I like, so that's the stuff I would like to be making, you know?
Yeah.
Same with him, so I mean at
oh,
least
yeah, one isn't
at least
better
well,
than the other,
oh no,
like,
of course, yeah, it can
I
mean,
be
both, just because it's comics doesn't mean it has to be
Avengers of superheroes. That movie was fantastic,
yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I love all that stuff, mm. But it just, I mean, I guess I'm doing it anyway, so I would like to do more of the other, but I do, it is funny that all the stuff that you would say, what would you know?
Like, if you wrote the synopsis for each of, say, the seven, it was Nick, the thing
yeah.
He wants to do as well is like this flamboyant comic about this, like an adaptation of Jack and the Beanstalk.
Mm-hmm.
Or he wants to write a play version of
yeah.
It stuff. Now, I'm probably getting it wrong here, but that's the gist of it.
That was
one
years
of his
ago
projects.
As well,
it could be different since.
Yeah.
But it's very much, you could write a paragraph of each of them, and you'd definitely be able to pick the person that went with each concept, I think,
yeah.
No problem.
But it's nice as well, actually, it's so varied.
It's nice
well,
that we
know.
Can be pigeonholed like that, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
It's makes it easy categorically for you guys. Which one's he? Oh, he's the action adventure guy. Right.
But at the same time, I haven't touched it, but there's you know, something very much like Looper, like a kind of a sci-fi. I think you and I would probably cross over slightly.
Yeah, I think
that
yeah, that would certainly cross the streams there. That's got everything.
Yeah,
God's
yeah.
Got it all.
But that is something
Looper.
I'd love to do as well. I think you and
yeah.
you and I have very similar tastes, especially in films.
We like, could collaborate
know.
On something like that.
Possibly could.
Maybe Jordan, you could colour it. I love when I say that.
Be my wife.
Colours everything.
But no, it is a. It is interesting, like, because I find sometimes with guys, like, you're talking to them and they're like, oh, I love Mike Mignola, and you see their stuff and it's kind of like Jim Lee knockoff art, and you're like, really? Like, where's the stuff that you like?
Declan would
you
judge
know?
Them for that.
Yeah, yeah, I would. but
possibly rightly so. Possibly.
Possibly, possibly not. In the interest of balance, I would say maybe I'm wrong.
I'm playing devil's advocate now.
But I do find it is strange when you see people who's like, what the stuff that they are interested in and the stuff they're producing is nothing like that. I remember Thompson a while ago saying that out of all of us, at least I'm probably the one drawing in the vein that I like the most, you know, and I didn't realize until he said it, but I thought it was a really good point that I think maybe that's why I was more satisfied with my work for hire stuff, was that I got to kind of draw the stuff I was into anyway. So like 28 Days Later was like, you know, dystopian
yeah.
And you know, contemporary sci-fi kind of thing, you
well
know?
I think that's why once I left Angel,
yeah,
which I really enjoyed,
which you loved,
but
yeah.
Then was doing more adaptations of things that I didn't really have a huge interest in the source material. Mm-hmm. That's when I started twigging the fact that this wasn't for me, or
yeah.
And I had stayed longer than I intended because the people I worked with were so bloody sound, like Chris
yeah.
And all the IW guys are really bang on. They're very low key. Like, it's no hassle. Nothing is a worry. Or it's like, fine, that's no problem. It's very conducive working environment.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I've heard some other editorial departments are much more. I don't want to say they make problems rather than solve problems, but they certainly don't help out as much as maybe
yeah.
The people I'm used to. So that kept me around and stuff.
But when you're starting out, like getting to being paid to draw comics,
yeah, any comic
is the best thing, because you're being paid to do what you love doing. But once you kind of, I would argue, you know, becoming more of an artist, not to sound too pretentious, but you are, if you're making art every day, you know, you're an artist. Your tastes develop and it becomes stronger, more refined. You get to have more opinions about the stuff that you like and you dislike. That novelty wears off after a while, so you
also
want
your sense of self worth rises, I think.
Yes, that's true, and justifiably so.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because if you
we're not young anymore. Well, I'm certainly not. That
yeah,
young
well,
anymore.
Me neither, not at this stage. But the if you don't, and I think it is a kind of an Irish problem as well. Is if you don't really value yourself, why would anybody else value you? You know, like the having to talk yourself up or feeling good about your own work. We're more likely to, like, when I was in school and I was drawing comics, everyone would like make fun of me for drawing, you know.
Yeah.
If I was playing hurling, everyone would think I'm great, but if you stand out a little bit, you're kind of like knocked down a bit. So I think you have a hard time trying to really believing in your own stuff. That's maybe a negative hang up we would have. But now like I would, there's stuff that there's projects I would like to do, and at the stage I am in my career, they're achievable. The same thing with Mooney is that I think now you're actually, you know what you want to do.
Oh yeah, well,
you could keep doing what you were doing, but you actually took some initiative and created a project that you were going to enjoy, and it's clearly been the best. Like anybody who's seen the pages,
it's definitely the best,
everybody says really, like yeah. You, even like friends of yours behind your back too, they all say it's his best.
They're
stuff,
not friends,
you know?
Of mine then, I have to say.
But I know, yeah, everybody says it. Like.
Yeah. What
next question?
I'm just looking through my notes here. I guess that will probably wrap up today's episode, unless you have something.
I want to talk about Christmas.
Oh, you want to talk about Christmas? You're gonna.
You see, if I'm on record that you say that,
but maybe it will be a surprise for you to be on the Christmas episode.
Totally edited
so maybe look at this bit out.
He could totally edit that out. Fine. Okay, that's a good point.
All right.
I just love Christmas.
Okay, I do have a question.
Oh, yeah.
What do you, 5 years down the line, you're doing the comic ass this long? What do you think of the Irish scene as it is now? Considering, like, say, there's guys like, you know, us doing, you know, American stuff.
Yeah,
guys like Paddy doing the Straight Lines, and you've got all these
web
cartoonists, and you've got podcasts. I mean, you are no longer the only Irish podcast.
Ireland's number one comedy podcast.
Yes,
we're on
record with that.
Oh, we're still. It's like you said at the start. I mean, like, we started the podcast at a really good time because. Like at the time, like in kind of Bren B's time and Bob Burns' time, there kind of was a bit of a community, in that they all knew each other,
that would have been quite underground at the time.
Absolutely, because you know what I mean. It was, you know, like the 90s, and from various different people that we've talked to, like Jerry Hunt. You know, at different times in kind of the last maybe 20 or 30 years, there has been these different kind of underground or undercurrent of like Irish comic books going on.
Previous generations, like?
Yeah, doing different things, but it's never been as strong as it was or is, especially when we just started. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Everyone kind of started to kind of like Phil Barrett was just back from. Canada, and he was quite good over there at kind of like you know meeting people and kind of bringing people together, and now obviously you have the comic jam in the Lord Edward pub every month, and there's a lot more kind of spirit to it. I mean, then you've got O'Brien Press, who've been great in kind of taking the indie Irish people in terms of like getting like Phil to do a book for them, getting Paddy Lynch to do, you know,
that's,
publishing Jerry Hunt's
when
books.
People ask what Irish comics mean, I think that's a big quantum leap in Irish, because
it
like
is,
Rob
yeah.
was paying guys to draw his stories,
and
which was great opportunity for a lot of Irish guys starting out, like myself and Will and Thompson and Mooney. But this is the first publisher who are paying people professional.
That's not fair. And Rob, he could be considered a publisher, I think.
Oh, probably he'd be publishing his own stuff, as in his own stories. That's the way to do it.
Oh,
but
you mean
O'Brien are one of the first actual publishing place who are going, we're going to try out comics
okay,
now. They're already an established publisher of material, where they're going to go, we have this story about, you know, Larkin or what have you. It's interesting. And again, it's his own thing. I mean,
this is Rob Curley at Freak
Show. I wonder,
show
do we know at all how successful they've been? Is it working out well for them? Do we know?
For
just in their comic graphic novels,
I think Alan
Nolan's
so stuff is doing really well, isn't it?
Oh yeah, oh sorry,
I know Jerry Hunt's first
impressed.
One did quite well.
Alan Nolan's stuff is really good, and I think it's doing pretty well. And then like Jerry Hunt's have been particularly successful because of the angle, the historical angle.
The
you know what I mean?
Kind of,
yeah, exactly. The Paddy's is not out yet. Phil's book, I mean, Phil's book is like Where's Larry? It's kind of a Where's
it
Wally kind of thing.
It's
it is hilarious. Like, yeah, it is like it's a joy to kind of look through. And I think that'll be really successful in terms of, you know, again, in terms of the market.
Yeah.
But it's a really nice, like, if you like Phil's stuff, it's like it's
great
to see.
My favorite of the indie
spread,
guys.
Yeah. Just to see the spreads of like color, which I know he hates doing. You know what I mean? So you just look at it and go, he probably hated this.
Yeah.
But. I guess one thing that I find when I'm talking to non-kind of comics people and I'm kind of telling them about the, like, maybe the podcast, or, and they'll say, like, is there anyone doing, you know, like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, there's, like, and, you know, you guys are the people I always named, you know, like, these guys live right here and they're doing, you know, these comic books, and people are always still really quite, like, really, you know,
yeah.
kind of
yeah.
shocked, so it's, I don't think it's completely cracked through, but, I mean, having said that, for such a small country, you know, there is a community building. You know, you will see the Irish Times randomly reviewing a graphic novel, you know, in their
literary
section.
Well, it's kind
of
cruel for them to do that.
Yeah,
too.
It is kind of, I mean, yeah, but yeah, I guess you kind of, like, we'll just, you know, let them away with that, because it, you know, gives it a bit more exposure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
Of course. But, yeah, I don't know. Did I answer your question?
No.
No.
No, no, you did. No, no,
would
you
prefer that questions? The podcast became maybe a bit more of a pop culture podcast as opposed to focusing more on something?
We did dabble in doing a second podcast that was going to be about movies, and it was just like, because me and Craig love movies.
Oh,
like,
me too.
Almost like maybe, like, I probably love movies more than comic books. I don't think that's true for Craig, but I just, like, you've seen my DVD collection downstairs, just, like, obsessed with them, so you'd think that we would probably be able to kind of talk with some more authority on that, but we tried it and it really didn't work.
Really?
The concept title for it was, I think it was called Craig and Liam Fuck You. that's what it was. I think it was just
always
awful.
Been the dream.
Yeah, yeah. We recorded like half of one, and we were talking about what we were reviewing. Clint Eastwood's
Gran Torino.
Okay. And then just in the middle of it, I think we just, like, stopped him. This is awful. Like, what are we talking about?
Can we hear it?
That's gotta go. Probably have it. Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking more, could you not just fold that into the as is?
I guess we do kind of.
Because, like, I always enjoy when you do them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Once you make Craig not tell what happens. Oh, he's better than he used to be.
But there is
yeah.
one. Yeah,
he's kind of argues. I always say, like, you know, you're going to spoil it. It's like, well, this isn't really a spoiler. You know what I mean? If they've seen the front cover, if they know anything about
it.
This. Yeah.
But I guess in a way, it's why so many comic conventions have, like, cosplayers and, you know, and actors and stuff. It does seem to kind of pool in a lot of, like, various types of genre stuff, like,
yeah.
you know, movies or horror or what have you. You can do that. I mean, you know, if you go overboard, then sure, it is just a movie podcast, but I'm sure you can pull that stuff
that's
in.
That said, though, on the other hand, you've got people who probably just want to hear about the comics, and there are many movie podcasts out there,
that's
so they're probably tuning in.
Well, the thing is, I mean, there's many comic
the
book podcasts
that's
out there
true,
as well.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, I don't listen to any of them.
I listen to a couple of the American ones, but
yeah.
and then you and then the Northern guys, I would know, I'd listen to their show, which is very sporadic. But we know Ron and Scott and PJ quite well.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would enjoy their show too. My allegiance obviously is with this show because they're there first. But I do like the boys. We did
support
go with Chris Ryle there a while back. That was
yeah,
quite enjoyable.
I haven't had
that
one since.
That's good.
Is
we're not as bad as I thought we would be.
Okay.
We had a few drinks on us. So
I just remember you kind
one.
Of like lurched over, you know,
yeah.
like that, you know.
Like Bob Dylan.
Yeah, your things are getting quite serious there on stage. And
yeah.
yeah, then I had some, like, blanket statement about all the same.
Well, I just tried to ask you a question about who you didn't like, because I love
yeah.
when you start going on about that. But, I mean,
yeah.
you've got drinks on it, it's a lot easier to get it.
That's
out
true,
you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
We found any time we've done podcasts with alcohol on it, you usually get a call from Craig the next day going, "Take that down!" Like, oh, check the stats now. People have downloaded it.
Yeah,
matter.
Straight
like,
away. I love the ones with
the
glass
like,
of wine.
It was a lot easier for me to have my bold opinions on stuff, you know, when I was just a nobody, you know, like,
yeah.
the stuff with people I've hated and I've met, I was like, oh crap, because they're nice.
That said,
you know?
Don't really, you still kind of slide it in there
yeah,
normally.
Yeah.
Slip it in.
Yeah, it's like, I really like your stuff. Yeah.
I think people respect honesty, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I wouldn't go like, oh, your stuff's amazing. I just would avoid the question. I remember this while ago, there's some guy whose stuff I absolutely hate, but he was really, really nice, you know. So, I mean, you know. Like,
do I know this person?
Do you know them personally? No. But, like, you know, wouldn't be going like, oh, yeah, your stuff's crap.
Yeah.
But you know, I wouldn't get into a conversation about art because I would be
yeah,
grinding.
You'll end up in
time.
That place then.
Yeah, you know, and I do have strong opinions about what I think works,
yeah,
doesn't
yeah.
work, what is successful, isn't successful, what I think is probably getting bad stuff. It does matter to me, and what I like is talking about with like-minded guys. But you can kind of tell from the work what their approach is or what
yeah.
they think works. You know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
guys are too photorealistic. Clearly, we're probably not going to have the same opinion on how much photorealism should be in comics, so
yeah.
I just won't bring that up with them.
Yeah,
know?
I mean, it's kind of, it almost applies to like us when we're reviewing stuff, like at the start, you know, at the start, because the community was so small, we didn't want to review a comic. Like, if we read a comic and it was really bad, we didn't really want to review it. And in several instances in the first couple of years, we wouldn't. But then I found Craig is much better than me of just like,
he is quite good at that,
and I think it's because in a way I think it's because he's a little bit more removed. He might dispute this.
Yeah, he never shows up.
Also, you know, also you have a career in broadcasting, yeah. So you know, it's, you would be not to say that Craig is not professional, but you would have more professional mindset. Whereas Craig, this is what he likes, it's what he doesn't like, and it's not going to affect him.
I think he's quite even handed when he doesn't like something.
Oh no,
absolutely, he is, but he's more. I think he's definitely more willing to kind of go like, I didn't. This is crap. Then I would. I
know,
be trying to find good points.
I have listened to reviews where he's like, I really, really didn't like it, but. If you are into like this, that, and the other, you are probably going to enjoy this. I mean,
well, you need that. No one would listen if it was
exactly. That's
pandering kind
of. Yeah, that's the whole
point. Like, how,
because you are buddies with a lot of the people now, which has to be.
It is. It is difficult.
If you ever need one of his comics reviewed,
which is why you probably never review my stuff.
I am your man.
Do we not?
No.
Craig. I
have had 18 comics out in the last 2 years, and I say maybe one or two were mentioned. That's all I'm
saying. I review one of his fish.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean,
I know. Look, seriously, I'm just having to go, but in, like,
he
with,
you.
With all the with the amount of stuff, like if you say one wrong thing, it can just go like everything on the internet is so immediate now.
But I think people respect.
No, but I'm saying,
though,
but
once you're not an asshole,
okay. Oh, yeah, we've never, like, I mean, we've. I think there's only two instances when, like, we got an email from someone who kind of didn't really like a review we gave of an Irish comic, and was just, and
you can't apologize.
It was like,
for that,
no,
like,
from the creator,
right?
Like, and we didn't, right? And then there was another instance that I probably don't want to bring back up.
Look, I'm sorry,
names,
okay?
Like,
yeah,
I'm sorry about it.
Yeah,
he's had 18 comics out in the last 2 years.
I guess it's fair to say we've had very minor, kind of instances. Because in general, we are kind of like.
But you're very positive,
of,
generally.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be when it's kind of like such a small.
People's egos are incredible. Like, artists' egos, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, I work with a lot of us, and we are hard to deal with.
Oh, yeah, also because we're in a room on our own the whole time. So once you're like looking for validation and you get the opposite, you're like,
It's funny, you should speaking of being in a room, you should get Geordie to review one of Texas comics. It's so funny when she doesn't like something.
Oh, she tears it apart.
She's like, oh, this is shit. That is shit.
Geordie can be our official review of your stuff from
now
on.
So
and now we go over
she
to
she's looking
Geordie.
For a segment.
That's true.
I don't know if you saw our Twitter podcast talker and you're on.
No, I did not.
We were thinking about coming up with a show. She was going to be our roving reporter and did a bit.
All right, well, I hope that was of interest.
To somebody.
Not us.
And well, thank you very much, Declan and Stephen.
Christmas.
You're making it very hard for me to edit these Christmas references out. And what did you want the show to play out on?
You're the Voice by John Farnham.
Okay, well, we'll hear that. It's Toodlepip.
I don't get it.
No, you've had your goes.
Do you want a song that goes
segments.
On after this?
We ended it there.
I would like Waiting Room by Fugazi, please.
I don't even know who or what that is. Is that a real band?
It is a real band.
Okay. Sounds like Donnie Brasco.
It's okay, we'll go with The Voice. It's a great tune.
Oh, look, he's giving me that one. Now you can press that now.
Now?
Go.
Good evening. Here is the news.
Sorry.